Hello and welcome to another installment of Podcast 360. I'm your moderator, Melinda Stevens with Rheumatology Consultant. With us today is Dr. David Spaulding, who is a professor in the Division of Clinical Immunology and Rheumatology at University of Alabama in Alabama. He will be speaking about psychological health and the overall management of ankylosing spondylitis. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Spaulding.
You're welcome.
What is the rheumatologist's role in helping patients maintain positive psychological health in the overall management of AS?
I think that our role is to control the disease as best as possible with available treatment modalities, including some very potent medications, as well as important types of physical therapy. And if we can control the disease, then we can give the patient definitely a better psychological outlook and improve his ability to participate in the activities that are necessary, such as monitoring his disease, reporting his problems related to his disease to the rheumatologist, and going forward with physical therapy, because what we can offer patients with ankylosing spondylitis is a wide variety of treatment options. And there's a wide variety of ankylosing spondylitis patients, period. For example, the typical younger male ankylosing spondylitis patient almost characteristically develops first low back pain that then can extend to varying degrees into the lower lumbar spine and then progress up the spine. And eventually in some patients, fortunately a minority, go all the way to the cervical spine, whereas it's a bit different for women who develop ankylosing spondylitis and have a higher incidence of developing disease in the cervical spine as one of the initial manifestations. And sometimes it's limited to the cervical spine. So if the patient's function is impaired by any of this spinal involvement, our best way to help them deal with that is to develop a treatment program that involves generally non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and for a significant number of patients, moving on to very potent tumor necrosis factor inhibitors such as Humira, Enbrel, Remicade, and others. And with those medications, we're able to significantly slow down the inflammatory process that will allow them to participate in therapy programs, because our main goal, whether we're able to actually stop the ankylosing process or not, is to control the inflammatory component so that if they do have an ankylosing process, they do it with a functional outcome. Because the last thing we want to do is have patients who develop some of the manifestations of ankylosing spondylitis that were actually much more common prior to the availability of anti-TNF therapy. So you can imagine that a patient who's cervical spine range of motion was less than 10 degrees flexion, extension, and rotation, that's going to have a significant impairment on their psychological health because of the loss of their functional ability in almost every aspect of daily life. So we want to interrupt the process and get a functional outcome, and that requires extensive physical therapy when the disease is very active, in order to control the inflammation, and then when the inflammation is controlled, to help the patient maintain good posture and maintain the range of motion that they have at that point.
How do you monitor a patient's overall mental, emotional, and social health, and what would your advice to other rheumatologists be?
In our office evaluations, we review what their status is in all areas. So we review their medical issues, their medication issues, potential complications of medication issues, and we discuss how the disease is affecting their function and their ability to perform. If we see issues, and to be honest, I don't encounter these to the extent that you might suspect for such a debilitating disease, but if we see suggestions that it is having a negative psychological impact, then I think it's most appropriate to work with our clinical psychologist and help them work through some of the other emotional and psychological aspects of the disease. As far as mental, fortunately, there's no impact on mental function, on brain function, etc. So this is an area where I don't really see any issues. But I think it's primarily just in the give and take in a physician's office, identifying that there is something out of step with, even if their clinical response appears good, that they're not having a good ability to deal with their limitations in a fashion that is successful.
How can the rheumatologist reiterate the importance of positive mental health to patients, and are there any challenges associated with this?
I think it would be the same issue that in each office visit, we don't just talk about where they're hurting or how much stiffness they have, but we do try to assess what is the impact on their activities of daily living and their social interactions and their potential psychological consequences, such as what would be most common in this situation would be a depression.
And what is the key takeaway rheumatologists need to know about their role in managing psychological health in patients with AS?
The main role of a rheumatologist is asking the patient the correct questions that will give you the information about whether, in fact, their disease is having a significant disruptive effect in their social and psychological health. That just comes out of developing rapport with the patient and really interacting with the patient on a face-to-face basis. Delving into not just, you know, how much pain they have, how much limitation, but what is their work? What are their impairments at work? What is their ability to travel and participate in sports, etc.? So these things are issues that are just part of a normal physician-patient interaction in this setting. And if they're not, they should be. I think it's a matter of looking at the patient as an entire human with all the potential foibles of humanity and giving them a chance to express their thoughts about how they are progressing or not progressing.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Spalding.
You're welcome.